All right. So this is the introduction to the miracles of Christ. And so I want to start with just talking about what miracles are. Two top definitions of a miracle that was found in the Webster Dictionary is the following: an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs, an extremely outstanding or unusual event, thing, or accomplishment, like a bridge engineering or something like that. So the first one is really about healings, miraculous things, so on. Well, we often speak about miracles in this way. It was a miracle that I survived that accident, or it would take a miracle to win the lottery. We have overused the word in our society, and with that, have possibly demystified the awesomeness of what Jesus did during his ministry. When we look to Scripture and study the miracles of Christ, we see that there is a purpose for each of the miracles that happen. All the miracles had the purpose of showing the glory of God, but there were residual purposes as well. Some miracles alleviated embarrassment. Some restored people to the opportunity to worship in community. Some restored family. Some fed bellies, while others fed souls. All gave back life in some way, shape, or form. As we study these miracles of Christ, we will dive into their meaning not only for those who were healed, fed, and restored, but for us today. To recapture the awesomeness, the awesome power of God, and to realize the miracles that God brings about in our lives, starting and ending with the miracle of taking simple bread and wine, transforming it into his glory, body, blood, soul, and divinity. So there's a couple of ways to pray with Scripture. The Lectio Divina is one way that is described. And this method of prayer goes back to the early monastic tradition. There were not Bibles for everyone, and not everyone knew how to read. So the monks gathered in a chapel to hear a member of the community reading from the Scripture. In this exercise, they were taught and encouraged to listen with their hearts because it was the word of God they were hearing. When a person wants to use Lectio Divina as a prayer form today, the method is very simple. When one is a beginner, it's better to choose a passage from one of the Gospels or epistles, usually 10 or 15 verses. Some people who regularly engage in this method of prayer choose the epistle or the Gospel for the Mass of the day, as suggested by the Catholic Church. First, one goes to a quiet place and recalls that one is about to listen to the Word of God. Then one reads the Scripture passage out loud to themselves, so that they can hear it with their own ears. When one finishes reading, pause and recall if a word or phrase stood out or something touched their heart. If so, pause and savor that insight, feeling, or understanding. Then go back and read the passage again, and it will have a fuller meaning. Pause again and note what happened. If one wants to dialogue with God or Jesus in response to the word, or one should follow the prompting of one's own heart. This kind of reflective listening allows the Holy Spirit to deepen the awareness of God taking the initiative to speak with us. Lectio Divina can also be an effective form of prayer. After a passage is read, there can be some extended silence for each person to savor what he or she has heard, particularly noting whether any word or phrase became special focus. Sometimes groups invite members, if they so desire, to share out loud a word or phrase that stuck with them. This is done without discussion. Then a different person from the group who read this would read the Scripture again and pause for silence. Different emphasis might be suggested after each reading. What gift does this passage lead me to ask from the Lord? Or what does this passage call me to do? The prayer can be concluded with an Our Father. Whether one prays individually or in a group, Lectio Divina is a flexible and easy way to pray. One first listens, notes what is given, and responds in a way one is directed by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to do that right now. And I picked my favorite scripture verse to just think and pray. And listen with your heart, like the monks did. This is Jeremiah. You will know it well. It's Jeremiah 29. For I know well the plans I have in mind for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for woe. Plans to give you a future of hope. When you call me, when you go to me, when you go and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you look for me, you will find me. Yes, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord, and I will change your lot. Would anyone like to share with me or the rest of the group a word or phrase? Yes.
Future of hope.
Future of hope. Yes.
You will find me.
You will find me.
When you seek me with all your heart.
Seek me with all your heart. Now I'm going to read it again. For I know well the plans I have in mind for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for woe. Plans to give you a future full of hope. When you call me, when you go to pray to me, I will listen to you. When you look for me, you will find me. Yes, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord, and I will change your lot. Anything else jump out? Yes.
You will find me.
You will find me. Yes.
The Lord is always with me.
The Lord is always with me. Yes.
Plans for your welfare, not for woe.
Plans for welfare, not for woe. I think that what this exercise does, and as I was reading and I thought about, why is this my favorite scripture verse? And it's because when I was trying to figure out my God's will for me, I was searching. And this gave me comfort. And I thought, okay, fast forward 30 years. Why is this still my favorite scripture? Because it's come true. I've had a future full of hope, and I know I've got more of that coming. So this kind of thing, now I could sit there and talk to you about why Jeremiah, you know, and all that, because this is from Jeremiah. What was going on in Jeremiah's life? What was happening with, you know, God and Jeremiah and all that kind of stuff and the people that Jeremiah was speaking to? But if we just take that for what it means to us today and why it's important to us, then it's a wonderful way to break open scripture and get to the heart of what God's trying to tell us today. Now, the other prayer form that we're going to do is Jesuit in St. Ignatius, and it's called Gospel Contemplation. The early Christians did not waste a lot of energy looking back and wishing they had been born 100 years earlier so that they could have walked with Jesus. Instead, they focused on coming to know Christ in three powerful ways: through the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, the stories and emerging writings of Jesus, and his powerful presence when they gathered in his name. St. Ignatius Loyola invited a person when an individual made a retreat to the pattern of his spiritual exercises, to pray to come to know Christ so that one may love him in a more real way and following from this knowledge and love become more faithful disciple. In order to grow in this faith knowledge, Ignatius invited a retreatant to engage in a prayer method called contemplation. This is not some kind of mystical prayer, but a prayer form in which one uses his or her senses in an imaginative way to reflect on the gospel message. One uses the senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling, to make the gospel seen, real, and alive. Here is a way of engaging this prayer form through relaxing, and it's rather easy. So I'm going to select a passage from the gospel in which Jesus is interacting with someone. I'm going to read the gospel passage twice so that the story and the details of the story become familiar. Then you close your eyes and reconstruct the scene in your imagination. See what's going on and watch the men and women in the scene. What does Jesus look like? How do the others react to him? What are the people saying to one another? What emotions fill their words? Is Jesus touching someone? Or as one enters into the scene, sometimes there's a desire to be there. So a person can place oneself in the scene, perhaps as an observer, or lining themselves up for healing, or one helping others to Jesus. Some people's imaginations are very active, and so they construct a movie-like scenario with the gospel passage. Others will enter the scene through verbal imagination, reflecting on the scene and mulling over the actions. Vividness is not a criteria for the effectiveness of this kind of prayer. Engagement is. And the result is a more interior knowledge of Jesus. As one finishes this time of prayer, one should take a moment to speak person to person with Christ, saying what comes from the heart. So it's kind of like you put yourself in the scene. So think of yourself in the scene. And I lost my little yellow thing. There it is. Okay. So I picked John 20, 19 through 29. I'm going to read it twice. And I want you to try to picture yourself maybe as one of the people in the scene, or just that you're there too. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand here into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." I'm going to read it again. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. He was one of the disciples. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who believe and have not seen." Blessed are those who have seen and have believed, have not seen and believed. If I were to put myself into this scene, a couple times I would just be one of those disciples that were sitting in the room, scared. And to imagine Jesus walking in, what would that, you know, what would that do to me? I would just be ecstatic to see Jesus after I saw him die. And then be perplexed because the room was locked. And how is this man here? And I can put my, you know, finger in his side. You know, we could touch him. What would that be like? And breathing on me the Holy Spirit, what was that experience like? Well, I know that I had the Holy Spirit when I got confirmed. Right? Could it have been like that? Yeah. Not in eighth grade. But I did have that an experience in my 20s that was miraculous to me, like that. That was, I was fearful and then I became rejoicing. What is that saying to me today? Remember that I've got the Holy Spirit. That's what that says to me today. Remember, he breathed on all of us with the Holy Spirit. And are we rejoicing in that? And we haven't seen Jesus. Or have we? When we look into each other's eyes, we see Christ, I think, because we are the body of Christ. These are the things that kind of come up in me. Well, if I can picture myself there, if I pictured myself at the nativity scene, what would I want to do? Oh, I'd want to hold that baby. You know, you think about those kinds of things and how, what does it feel like to hold your own baby? You know, when you had your baby, what was it? Or your grandbaby, what was that like? I just recently held my grandnephew a day old. He was all tiny. But it was just so precious. You know, you think about, you kind of enter in, it humanizes a little bit. It humanizes Jesus. You kind of enter into that walking and talking with Jesus. What would that be like? As opposed to being so far away or kind of in that, you know, it kind of brings you down to earth walking with him when you use this kind of prayer form. So I encourage you to try. And the first couple of lessons I built in, this is what you use for this one and this is what you use for that one. But after the first two lessons, it's your choice of what is the way to enter into Scripture that brings you the most joy, understanding, closeness with the Lord, and recognize what the Lord's trying to do. So I encourage you to enter into the Scripture because, like Father Tim said, it's the what we're supposed to be doing. So... thank you for coming, and thank you for signing up. I think it's going to be a great, great experience.